There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Mishpatim Tov Shin Pei Dalet Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Today is, of course, the 30th day of Shvat, but tomorrow Shabbos will be the first day of Adar Rishon. So we're already getting into the Adar spirit, getting ready for Bez Hashem to celebrate in 6 weeks' time Purim together as a Kila and get some light into this difficult times. Today's show, as always, is brought to you as hopefully a siman for Refuah Shleima, for Ede'ela Bas Rochel, for Sarah Deila Devoira Bas Nachama Shirochaya, for Binyamina Bas Yenta, for Rezel Bas Chava, for Chaya Shena Bas Rezel, Aviva Sharon Bas Mina Shena. This should be Taka's chus. All the Torah we're learning, the chizuk we're getting, should be a chizuk that all these people should mamish have a refuah shleima bekarev. So we have an apasha. Obviously, this is the parsha with so many halachas. So it says, "V'nikra balabayis el halakim unloy sholach yodo b'malachas reyeyu." Says, if the thief is not found, then the householder shall approach the court, right, that he has not laid his hand on his fellow's property. Now, obviously, when we talk about the householder, we're not talking about the balabas, the owner of the lost or stolen articles, but we're talking about the shomer, an unpaid watchman or custodian who claims that he is not responsible for the item that is missing. It is not his fault. He must come to Beis Din, the court, which is here termed as Elohim, and swear that he has not laid his hands on his fellow's property. In a homiletic sort of rendering of the pasuk, Meir Mipram Ashlan explains that one who seeks to come close to Elohim, to Hashem, must first be completely innocent of any sins concerning his fellow man. The Torah places a strong emphasis on ethical behavior and moral principles. How we treat others directly affects our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One who is lacking in his compassion and kindness to his fellow, likewise, fails in his spiritual life. Our relationship with Hashem cannot succeed as long as our relationship with our fellow is a dismal failure. Harav Yaakov Yisrael Fischer Zatzal, who was the Ravid of the Abbezin of Yushalayim, was extremely stringent with regard to Ben Adam Lachaveda. Any incursion between man and his fellow man, he would identify areas of infringement on one's fellow, be it his property, his sleep, his business, or his emotional well-being. He decried the fact that when a great Torah leader was being escorted by a large crowd of students, whether it's to a wedding or a lecture or a levaya, those accompanying him would push and shove against people's property without thinking about the damage they might be causing. He would reiterate that an individual who is extremely careful with regard to mitzvahs ben adam lamakom, yet does not think twice concerning those mitzvahs that address his relationship with his fellow man, fails in both. Harav Fischer would relate a story that unfortunately happened due to the small-mindedness of some well-meaning young people whose kind of myopia caused them to ignore the larger picture. A young Torah scholar, devout and extremely stringent in his mitzvah observance, married a young woman who sadly had lost her father. Her widowed mother went out of her way to provide whatever she could to assist the young couple. The young couple was to spend the first Sukkot after the wedding with her mother so that she should not be alone. The mother worked extremely hard to prepare scrumptious meals and for her children. The first night of Sukkot, the son-in-law walked into the sukkah and noticed that the schach covering did not concur with the ruling of one of the more strict poskim. He felt that, according to the specific pesuk, the schach was invalid. He refused to eat in the sukkah and immediately after the first night took his wife and left. Apparently, it did not concern him that as a result of his adherence to a chumrah stringency in the area of hiddur mitzvah, beautifying the mitzvah, he caused anguish to a widow who just happened to be his mother-in-law. Clearly, this is not standard fare. Obviously, the young man's lack of sensitivity was surpassed only by his immaturity. Baruch Hashem, the majority of young people would bristle at such outrageous behavior. This is 1.9 Chaifa, and the program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pashas Mishpatim Tovshin Pei Dalet. Reish Kodesh Adar Rishon Tovshin Pei Dalet. So tomorrow, Metz Hashem, we are going to be reading Pashas Mishpatim. Pashas Mishpatim, of course, is a... It's important to understand that this is actually a continuation, or the completion, perhaps, of this spectacular revelation of Matan Torah at Har Sinai, which is described in Parshas Yishai. It begins with the words, "Vel Moshe Amar Alei Al Hashem." To Moshe, Hashem said, "Go up to Hashem." Here, Rashi points out that this pasuk was said before the Aseret Sadibros on the fourth day of Sivan. Moshe was told, "Go up." Accordingly, the Pasha goes on to then chronicle unusual aspects related to the revelation of Matan Torah, such as the sprinkling of the blood from the Oilis and the Shlomim, half of which was sprinkled on the people of Israel and half of which was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The biggest Chiddush, however, that appears in this Parsha is the praiseworthy proclamation by Klal Yisrael of Na'aseh V'Nishma. Right? This is the pertinent passage from the Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Peches says that at the time when Klal Yisrael said Na'aseh before Nishma, so a heavenly voice went out and said to them, "Mi gila rozel abanai, who revealed to my children the secret employed by the Malachim?" Right? The divine poet, right, commemorates this monumental declaration in the Zemiras that we sing on Shabbos. In the Zemira Yoina Matzah, I'm not going to sing it, "Uvo kulam bivris yachad," they came and they entered a covenant together, "Na'aseh V'Nishma Omer K'echad," and proclaimed "Na'aseh V'Nishma" together. Surprisingly, this famous proclamation does not even appear in Parshas Yisrael. There it merely says, "Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh," right? They answer and they say, "We will do," right? And they don't say "V'Nishma." In truth, right, this abridged version also appears in our Parsha, in Mishpatim, the first time. It says, "Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh." But afterwards, however, they proclaimed "Na'aseh and Nishma." "Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma." Right? So says so on the words Moshe, it says by Yichtoy Moshe. Moshe wrote. Rashi comments in the name of the Mechiltan. This is such a difficult phrase. He wrote the text of the Torah from Bereshis until Matan Torah, and he wrote the mitzvahs that they were commanded in Mara, right? And several psukim later, it says, "Vayikach sefer abris." Vayikra, he took the sefer of this covenant, and he read it to the people, and then they said, "Kol ased yibah Hashem nashev nishma." Now, if we read these psukim carefully, we'll note that initially, when Moshe related the words of Hashem to the people, only verbally, they merely responded, Nase. Subsequently, however, after Moshe wrote everything down in a book and then read it to them from the book, only then did they actually say, Nase v'nishma. And that's interesting. So we need to try to understand and kind of shed a little bit of light on the subject by introducing a teaching from a Chazal that the Torah preceded the creation of the world and was inscribed, and this is a very difficult phrase, with black fire on top of white fire. In fact, it's a medrash in Devarim Rabbah, Perek Gimel, Ayis 12. Reish Lakish said, the Torah that was given to Moshe, its parchment was of white fire and was inscribed with black fire. We find a similar statement in the Yerushalmi, in Shkolim, who also says, the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe was given to him as white fire etched with black fire. Now, it's obviously apparent from the statement of Reish Lakish that our Sifrei Torah are written with black letters inscribed on white parchment, of course, which alludes to the origins of the Torah from black fire on white fire. This is the message conveyed by the Pasuk in the holiest of songs, in Shir HaShirim, where it says, Samachuni ba'ashishos, they sustain me with ashishos, which is literally a kind of dainty items. And the Medrash expounds the term ba'ashishos to mean two types of fire. Shtei esh, two kinds of fire. According to the Chasam Sefer, so he says, the Medrash is referring to the two types of fire that make up a Sefer Torah, black fire on top of white fire. The phenomenon of the Torah being transmitted as black fire atop white fire is explained in the works of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, right? In Kedushas Levi, he brings there. There he focuses on the Pasuk, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya. He says, Ki Torah me'iti tzeitze, because Torah will come forth from me. And they expounded on this Pasuk in the Medrash, again, Vayikra Abba Yud Gimel. It says, Amra HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, a new Torah will come forth from me. Chidushim, novel aspects of the Torah will come forth from me. This is very difficult to comprehend because it contradicts one of the 13 principles of Emunah, which is Shezayis HaTorah Loi Sei Mochlefes, that this Torah will never be replaced. Veloi Siet Torah Acheres Meyes HaBoris Baruch Shemayim, and there will never be another Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how is it possible to say a new Torah is going to come from me? The Kedushas Levi explains the matter as follows. He says, the black letters in the Torah that are visible to all represent what he calls the internal light that everybody is able to perceive and ultimately comprehend. The white parchment surrounding the letters represents surrounding lights, and their messages and meaning are more concealed. As such, the white parchments are also a type of letters, except that they are concealed letters on a higher level than the visible revealed letters. In other words, they're not revealed or perceived by everyone. For this reason, it's forbidden to touch the actual Sefer Torah, because that annuls and hides the concealed letters. And that's the meaning of Torah Chadosha Me'iti Teitze. There will be a divine revelation, right? La'asid Lava, in the future, a revelation from, which is what he calls the Ora Makif, the whiteness of the Torah. You know, it's the concealed letters that surround the visible letters will be revealed. That is the new Torah that will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's clarify the difference between an internal light, the Or Pinimi, and a surrounding light, an Or Makif. So a human being is capable of perceiving an Or Pinimi and comprehending it intellectually, whereas an Or Makif is beyond human comprehension. Hence, the surrounding light remains external. Accordingly, says the Kedushas Levi, that the black letters in a Sefer Torah that are visible to the eye are a type of Or Panimi, and as such, everyone is capable of understanding at least their simple meaning. The white of the parchment, the white fire, however, contains letters that are invisible. They are a type of Or Makif, which will remain beyond human comprehension until La'asid Lavay. At that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal Chidushim, novel aspects of the Torah. Those hidden letters will then come forth from me. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Mishpatim Tov Shin Pei Dalar. Rav Moshe Schnurb here in the hot seat. We are discussing a very sort of complicated and deep issue. The concept of the Torah was given, as we said, black fire written on white fire. And we're explaining it according to the Kedushas Levi, that the white fire is the visible Torah, the Torah that we have the ability to comprehend. And the white fire is actually letters surrounding the black letters that are so hidden that nowadays we have no sort of really access to understanding them. But La'asid Lavay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal to us the secrets of the white fire, of the white letters also. And this is going to help us to perhaps understand a Gemara in Moin Katan Chavav, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Chelboy said, in the name of Rav Huna, a person who sees a Sefer Torah that is torn or burnt must tear two times, once for the parchment and once for the script. Just as one must tear one's garment for the script, the actual letters of the Torah, so too must one tear one's garment for the parchment, which represents the white fire that will be revealed to us. La'asid Lavay. Elsewhere, the Kedushas Levi actually explains that the white that surrounds the letter and that which is concealed within the letter reflects the receiving of bracha, of abundance in the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is white. Therefore, every open letter which the white flows into And there are 600,000 neshamas of Yidden and 600,000 letters in the Torah that aren't actually, only about 310,000. But with the spaces, there are 600,000. Every neshama is associated with a particular letter from the Aleph Beis. Those neshamas that are related to those letters that are open on a certain side, they receive sustenance from the white that flows into the letters. And they are connected to Kedusha. So we learn from his incredible, incredible words that the white of the parchment that surrounds the letters reflects that HaKadosh Baruch Hu influences from the Or Makif of the white fire to illuminate the letters composed of black fire. Now, since the 600,000 neshamas of Yisrael correspond to 600,000 letters of the Torah, this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminates the neshamas of Yisrael with the Or Makif of the white fire of the parchment. That much benefit we get even in this world. We may not have a comprehension of what the white fire is, but it has a tremendous, tremendous hashpa on us in this world. Let's expand on this a little bit. We know that the origins of the Torah, so in the Shemayim, are infinite and never ending. As such, it's beyond the scope of human comprehension. Seeing as the Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wisdom, it is infinite just as He is infinite. In His infinite mercy and kindness, however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compacted His wisdom step by step until it be confined within the letters of the Torah, so that we are able to appreciate it and understand it to some degree. This is the Torah that we are familiar with today. This, in fact, explains sort of fabulously the Kedushas Levi's explanation of the concept of black fire on top of white fire. The white fire of the Torah alludes to the beginnings of the Torah, before it descended to earth in its kind of restricted form within the visible black letters. Therefore, in Olam Hazeh, we are unable to comprehend or even perceive the white fire. It represents an Or Makif, that is, an unrestricted and is beyond the grasp of human intelligence. As we know, white alludes to the Midah of Chesed that spreads without being restricted. In contrast, the black letters in the Sefer Torah that are visible to us are the part of the Torah that has undergone Tzimtzum. It's been restricted and modified to enable us to comprehend it. As we know, black alludes to the Midah of Din, which confines and limits the abundance and divine influence that comes down from Shemayim. So this is the lesson taught by the Medrash. And the Medrash says, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Chadosho Me'iti Teitzei, Chidush Torah. Hashem's going to produce Chidushim in the future. As the Kedushas Levi explains, La'asid Lavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal to us even the parts of the Torah that are compared to the white fire that have not been modified or restricted at all. With this understanding, we can begin to appreciate where the Chidushim of the Torah generated by our Chazal throughout the generations originate from, whether they relate to the parts of the Torah that are revealed and apparent, sort of what we call nigla, or to the parts that are concealed and mystical, what we call nister. Right? We are referring to chidushim that are not stated explicitly in the Torah, right? That is visible to us. All of our sages, all their chidushim, right, interpreting the written letters of the Torah, emanate from the white parchment, the white fire that existed above and before it was restricted and kind of trickled down to earth in the form of the letters of the Torah. Now, although the revelation of the secrets of the Torah from the white fire will only occur primarily, La'asid Lavai, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon the Chachmei Ador of every generation the power to ascend and access the original unrestricted Torah. The white fire, through their sustained efforts in the study of Torah and Avodas Hashem, this enables them to elaborate, interpret, and clarify the letters of the Torah above and beyond what is apparent from their sort of confined, restricted form. For this reason, they are referred to as Chidushei Torah, because they originate from the novel interpretations of the Torah that will be revealed from the white fire, La'asid Lavai. Chidush Torah me'iti teitzei. This ties in amazingly with the interpretation of the Chavos Das regarding this pasuk in Devarim Lamed Beis. It says, Ki loy davar rik humichem. For Torah is not an empty thing for you. Don't think that the areas of parchment between the letters of a Sefer Torah lack content or meaning. In truth, letters also exist in those spaces. They are simply concealed and not apparent. In this manner, we can explain the meaning of the following Yerushalmi in Peah. The Yerushalmi says, for it is not an empty thing for you, but if it seems empty and futile to you, it's because you are not exerting enough effort in your Torah studies. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu add the words, for you? The Torah is never an empty thing. But if it seems so to you, it's because you are not learning properly. If you expend the effort, you will be privileged to receive insights and comprehension beyond the realm of the written letters of the Torah. Then it will be clear to you that the areas of white parchment are not empty spaces. On the contrary, they represent the white fire from which the Torah originated before the Tzimtzum. It's this fire that illuminates the black letters of the Torah. And this explains also magnificently what Rabbeinu Chaim Vital presents in the name of his Rebbe, the Arizal, in Shara Kavanis. It's taka, he says, it's a good minhag, a skula, to focus on the letters of a Sefer Torah. He says that my Rebbe of blessed memory had the minhag of kissing the Sefer Torah and accompanying it as it was transported from the Aron HaKodesh, right, to the bima, to be read from. He would then linger, right, near the bima until they opened the Sefer Torah and showed it to the kila, right, as is customary to do. Then he would actually gaze at the letters of the Sefer Torah, and he would claim that by a person gazing from such close proximity that he is able to read the letters clearly. The person draws an exquisite, extraordinary light to himself. So we can suggest a rationale for this, right? That this skula is based on our current discussion, right? By focusing on the black letters in the Torah scroll that are inscribed on white parchment, representing the black fire atop the white fire, one is able to connect with and draw from the white of the scroll incredible insights from the concealed portions of the Torah. It is an accepted and well-known fact that the neshamas of Yisrael are rooted in the Torah. With this in mind, it's kind of worthwhile considering whose neshamas are connected to the black fire, the letters of the Torah representing the sort of distilled, limited chachma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whose neshamas are connected to the white fire, the letters of the Torah prior to the process of Tzimtzum. So it should be apparent how vital it is to associate with and attach oneself to the Talmidei Chacham of Klal Yisrael. For just as the black letters in a Sefer Torah cannot exist without the support of the white parchment upon which they are inscribed. In fact, every black letter are intimately related to and inseparable from the white parchment, so too must every Jew be closely related to the Chachamim of the generation. So therefore, we can interpret that pasuk. It says, "Ki yipolei mimcha davar la'mishpat." If a matter of judgment will be hidden, yipolei, it's too difficult for you. It's something we don't understand, right? Bein dam ledam, whether it's blood or blood, bein din ledin, between verdict and verdict, bein negel and negel, between one affliction and another, divrei rivois bishorecha, matters of dispute in your cities. In other words, if you cannot find a satisfactory answer concerning your uncertainties related to the letters of the Torah that have sort of undergone the tzimtzum, right, whose scope has been limited, then what do you do? You shall rise up and ascend to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shall choose. In other words, you should seek a connection with the whiteness, right? The white fire that transcends the letter of the Torah. There, everything is explained and clear. That is the place that Hashem chose and will reveal La'asid Lavai. As the Medrash above expressed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Torah Chadash, a new Torah is going to come forth with me, and that's Chidushim of the Torah will come forth. According to this Kedushas Levi, this implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal to us the concealed secrets of the Torah represented by the white parchment. Therefore, the text goes on to explain how we will be able to ascend to the place of the whiteness that transcends the letters. It says, Ubasal HaKoinim, you'll have to come to the Koinim, to the Leviim, and El HaShofet, and to the judges who will judge in those days, because they are connected with the white fire. And they will inquire, and they will inform you of the letter of the law. And then you shall do in accordance with the word that they will tell you, right? From that place that Hashem will choose. In other words, you will act in accord with what they reveal to you from the origins of the Torah, the white fire, the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose, and you shall do everything that they will instruct you to do. So therefore, we can now interpret a statement of Chazal related to the Pasuk. It says, Gam kol choli v'chol maka. Also, every illness and every plague, asher lo yikasu b'sefer Torah zos, that is not written in this book of the Torah, Ya'aleim Hashem Alecha, Hashem will bring them upon you, Ad Yishamdach, until you are destroyed. This, of course, refers, say Chazal, to the death of tzaddikim. Where does this pasuk suggest anything about the death of tzaddikim? So we can explain the matter very, very nicely in keeping with our current discussion. As we have learned, tzaddikim are connected with a white fire that transcends the letters inscribed in a Sefer Torah. Thus, when this pasuk specifies every illness and every plague that is not written in this book of the Torah, it's alluding to the death and absence of tzaddikim who are connected with the white parchment which is not written in the book of the Torah. And therefore, perhaps that we can now explain a fascinating passage in the Gemara. Gemara in Makkos on Daf Chof Beis Amud Beis. Gemara says, Rava said, how foolish are some people who stand up in honor of a Sefer Torah, but they do not stand up in honor of a Gavra Rabba, great person. For it's written in the Sefer Torah, 40 Malkus, and the rabbis came along and subtracted one. In other words, people will show respect for a Sefer Torah, but not for the great men who interpret the Torah. Those people are truly, truly foolish. For the Torah specifically stated, Arbar Miakenu. You have to administer 40 lashes to a person. And yet, Achazal possessed the power to override the Torah's specific prescription and establish the maximum number of Malkus at 39. Let's explain this passage in keeping with what we have learned. Since these people stand up out of respect for a Sefer Torah, comprised of black letters inscribed on a white parchment, representing the black fire imposed on the white fire with which the Torah was given. So then why do they not have the common sense to stand up out of respect for an exemplary Talmud Chacham who is connected with the white fire that transcends the letters of the Torah? This illustrates the degree of their foolishness. They are ignorant of the fact that the white is superior to the actual letters. And therefore, to just show respect and stand up for the black letters, which say a person should get 40 Malkus, shows a lack of deference and a lack of intelligence in realizing that the Chacham who interpret the Torah by connecting it to the white fire have reduced it to 39 letters. And that is why, as we started off, Klal Yisrael only said Naaseh V'Nishma after Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down the Torah. Because once it was written down, now we have the access to this confluence of both the black fire and the white fire together. May we soon merit to see the light and see the Chidushim of the white fire. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos. A second.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Mishpatim Tov Shin Pei Dalet Rosh Chodesh, Aleph to Rosh Chodesh, Adarishan Tov Shin Pei Dalet. Oh, wonderful, wonderful welcome for those joining the show just now. It's such an honor and privilege to have you with us. Thank you for taking the time to be with us, as we always do at this time before we get into our Hilchos Shabbos stint, is to just give you the important times and details you need for this coming Shabbos. So obviously, today is Rosh Chodesh, and tomorrow also, second day of Rosh Chodesh, first day of Chodesh Adoration. So this afternoon, the earliest time for lighting your Shabbos candles is at 5:33. 5:33 is the earliest time one can get those candles on, and it's a great opportunity. 5:30 is still a long time away. We can still get our house organized. We can still get our food organized. We can still get ourselves organized. We can do all the last minute preparations we need to do before Shabbos, and still, if you want to, be ready by 5:30. Light the candles, allow the Kedusha of Shabbos to permeate into your home. Make it special even before we go to shul, even before we begin sort of the ceremonies of Shabbos. Let us sort of settle down and open a sefer or think about something worthwhile and holy and just kind of allow ourselves to deflate from the week that's past, the pressures, the indecisions, the difficulties we've had, the challenges, right? The Shabbos is, we have to see as if all our work is done. So 5:33 is the earliest time one can light candles. The latest time to light candles this week is at 6:37. 6:37 is the latest time to light your Shabbos candles. And, of course, don't wait till after that, because later than that is really, really only meant for situations of extreme sort of a danger where you really need those extra times to, otherwise you might break Shabbos. But otherwise, we have to see 6:33 as being the latest time for doing any kind of Shabbos preparation. Obviously, still many people hold on to the sort of standard Kabbalah Shabbos time for Johannesburg in the summer, which is 6:15. And if your shul davens earlier than that, then obviously whenever your shul is Mekabel Shabbos, whenever they say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, you then are bound to follow the kind of the lead of your congregation, of your community, and you have to make sure that your candles are lit by the time they in shul, and if you are not in shul, by the time they in shul say Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, you'd have to have your candles on. So earliest is 5:33, latest is 6:37. Shkia is then at 5 minutes to seven. 6:55 is Shkia. It's getting early very, very quickly. And therefore, if you want to make sure that you can say Shema before you sit down to your meals, that you can fulfill the mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema at night. So 7:13 is the magic time. All you have to do is wait until then, say Shema, and then you can sit down and make Kiddush. And with your family, enjoy a special meal. Obviously, it's Rosh Chodesh, so some have the minhag to have a special kugel in honor of Rosh Chodesh, or some special dish in honor of Rosh Chodesh. But it's the food, and it's the ambiance, and it's the company, and it's the Devar Torah, and it's the Zmiras, and it's the whole atmosphere that makes the Shabbos meal so absolutely special. Tomorrow, of course, is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, special davening, so we'll say Hallel as part of Shacharis, and the Pasha. This week is Pashas Mishpatim, and of course, because it's Rosh Chodesh, we'll take out two Sifrei Torah. In the second Sefer Torah, we'll read the portion we usually read on Rosh Chodesh, beginning with the words of Yom HaShabbos till the end. And then the Haftarah is the special Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, the very last chapter of the book of Yeshaya HaNavi, we read, which mentions at the end the concept of Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, because it's Rosh Chodesh, we have a special Musaf that we say, that's in the Oscar Siddur, it's the one underneath the line in the middle of the page. And Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is always a special thing. Many shuls have particular customs or things they do on that Shabbos. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day. It's still quite long. Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night only at 7:27. It's a bit earlier than the earliest, but still plenty of time to have a long afternoon, have a bit of a shlof, have a bit of social time with your own family, and of course to sit down and really do some learning Torah, open one's mind, opens one's neshama, to receive the blessings of Shabbos. The blessings of Shabbos are spiritual, and therefore when we evolve ourselves and spend time doing spiritual things, then we make ourselves then open to receive those blessings. We are learning the laws of Lush, the laws of kneading things on Shabbos. So we need to sort of speak about another principle involved in the Malacha of Lush, and that is the whole purpose of kneading things together and the prohibition of the Malacha of Lush is we take two materials, we take a dry material, and together with the liquid material, it now forms a single entity, and it's like unified into one substance. That is what Lush is. But let's say if the dry material you're going to add actually just gets scattered in the more liquid material, and it doesn't actually form a glumph, a mixture, that is not called Lush. Therefore, let's say I have some cheese and I want to add some different spices, some little leaves or things like that, onto my cheese. So since the leaves are just going to get scattered throughout the cheese, they're not going to sort of gather together and form a clump. So that's permissible. Similarly, I can take granola and mix it together with cheese again, because the little pieces of granola are not going to stick one to the other and become one mass. They're just going to scatter all over the place, right? They're obviously going to just stick to the cheese and not to each other. Similarly, you'd be allowed to, let's say, take pieces of berries and bananas, right, and mix that together with cream, because the pieces are not going to stick one to another, and they're not going to become one entity. The banana will do its own thing. The berries will do its own thing. It's not going to form a glumph, a mass. And similarly, I'd be allowed to, let's say I have cheese, I could add sugar or cocoa, because again, the intention is not to take all the grains of sugar or all the cocoa and have them clump together one another, but again, it's to give extra taste to the cheese, and that I'm allowed to do. Now, the acharonim are sort of battle the following difficult question. Would one be allowed to mix together, let's say, two different doughs, one with the other? Let's say, I have some white cheese, and I want to mix it, let's say, with honey. So it's ready, two sort of solid things. So there are different parts. Some say that since they will together form a thick, consistent dough, so then that is considered to be the Malacha of Lush, and it's forbidden on Shabbos. And that's what Rav Noivet in Shmir Shabbos Kochosa says, that you cannot do it. However, there's some say that no, only when I'm mixing together, right, a dry material with a liquid material, only then is there an Isser of Lush. But when I'm mixing together two sort of mixtures that already have a liquid in them, so that each one by itself is an entity by itself, then it's mutter. And that's the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And Lamais Lo Yepaskin is that if one does it in an unusual way, as we've discussed before, then there's no reason why it should be forbidden on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to come back with a few last comments in a moment. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
1.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kiddush. Parshas Mishpatim. Tov Shin Pei Dalet. Rosh Kiddush. Adar Rishon, as you prepare for another beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. We have just a few more minutes left, so let's learn a couple of more halachas. So you wouldn't be allowed on Shabbos to make like a pudding, which has a sort of a thick consistency. In other words, thick means it cannot just be poured, but a kind of pudding where it's a very, very soft thing and you could just pour it. So that you'd be allowed to make, provided you do it in an unusual way, as we discussed previously, i.e. put, let's say, first the solid food, and then on top of that, the liquid food, and then to mix it in an unusual way, you know, sort of vertical, horizontal, rather than around in circles. Let's again mention that the shinui is, again, instead of sort of stirring it around and around, so you move the spoon in straight lines, back and forth, or vertical and then horizontal. And if that is not a sufficient type of a shinui, so then what you could do is you can take the spoon out of the mixture between each stirring motion. You're not allowed to prepare like a jelly, right? Through mixing the jelly powder with water. And even though at the very, very beginning of the mixture, it starts off as a liquid mixture, but since at the end we know it's going to set and become hard, so then basically you are mixing the water together with the jelly powder. And since at the end of the day you're coming out with the solid mixture, you are over the malacha of lush. Right? Right. You cannot sort of prepare a kind of your puree by mixing the mashed potatoes, right? If you have powdered mashed potatoes and mix that with water on Shabbos, that's also because through the mixture, the water and the sort of the flour, it becomes a thick mixture, and therefore it's also to prepare a hot portion of mashed potatoes on Shabbos. But you would be allowed to make a portion of couscous on Shabbos again, but you have to stir it in an unusual way, and obviously it'd be much better to pour the water in that situation from a klisheni rather than from straight from the sort of the urn. Okay, that really is all the time we're going to have on this Erev Shabbos to learn together. Be'ez Hashem, Hashem will give us an opportunity next week to continue to learn together the halacha, to continue to get chizuk and strength in the situations that we find ourselves in. In the meantime, it's just left for me, first of all, to thank you all for being part of our radio family, for joining us this Friday and every Friday to learn together, to be inspired together, to prepare for Shabbos together, and then just to wish each and every one of you, first of all, a beautiful, beautiful good Shabbos, and of course, a good Chodesh, the Shabbos, and Rosh Chodesh, a double special Shabbos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just let us have lots and lots of bracha, and we should hear only Besuras Tovus, only good, comforting, happy news to each and every one of our radio family, a good Gebenshe Shabbos.